Welcome, everyone, to episode 43 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Josh.
And this is Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. Welcome back to Bike Club.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming again, since Lynn is in rural China, I believe, and
she's
unable.
Exploring somewhere.
Yes.
She has no internet access, but she did watch The Vampire Diaries, and I'll read a little bit of her recap and her reaction to the show. Last week's episode a little bit later. So this week we have a little bit of news, not as much as last week. And of course, we're going to recap Vampire Diaries episode 21 called Isabel. All right. This is a Bike Club show, Wine, Women, and Fangs. Our web address is bikeclubshow.com. You can also email us bikeclubshow@gmail.com. And you could also Twitter at Bike Club Show. Now, every week we do a wine selection of the week. Well, I think we've done, I would say 95% of the time we've been able to do a wine selection of
somewhere around there. Yeah.
Yeah. And this week it's a little bit different because we just don't have any.
So, you were trying to come up with a good reason.
I was trying to come up with a really good reason. And basically, I just decided to break out a little bit of Jameson's on the rocks just for our show. And I guess it's just me drinking, right? Everybody else is drinking water.
You know, interestingly, yeah. I'm out of wine, too. Like, last week, I finished the entire bottle and then proceeded to open another one with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to take it easy on myself this week and have some water.
I don't blame you.
You're still recuperating from last week.
I am. You know, it was tough. Had a headache for days. No.
That's what happens when you're on the show, you know?
No, I really just haven't gone to Trader Joe's to pick up my next selection, but... We'll next time.
Yeah, next time for sure. So, I don't know. Let's just go ahead and jump into the news. Okay, everyone. I think as soon as we stopped recording last week, the news of the release date for Breaking Dawn was actually made public. And from Summit, Breaking Dawn, the official release date is November 18th. 2011. So Thanksgiving time next year, first. Well, and actually, they haven't really commented yet as to if it's one or two films. So
I hope it's two. I mean, I quite enjoy the story, and I think they could not drag it out, but I think it'd be good.
So, I agree. I don't even think there's stuff to drag. There's just so much that happens in that film, and it's sort of, or in that book, and you kind of just want to, you know, not skip anything. Cause I think in like the other books, like we've talked about before, they've had to skip storylines because, you know, it's really, you have to focus on the main characters, and to do that, then you have to kind of sacrifice other characters' backstories.
Right. So now, there's so many characters coming.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I hope that, they do split it into two. And I don't know, maybe make up for some storylines that were not explored in previous movies that we all know from the books. So like, for instance, last week we were talking about Alice and Stephanie. Yeah. You haven't read Twilight yet, but her story is explored in the first Twilight book. And we just kind of glossed all that over.
Yeah, or even Rosalie's story is pretty interesting as well. I mean.
Yeah, I think actually they are going to do Rosalie's story in Eclipse, I think. Ooh. Because I've seen pictures of her dressed up back in the day, like when she was alive in the, I can't remember, the 20s or 30s or something like that. And I think they actually do explore that because she, in Eclipse, she tells Bella why she doesn't want Bella to turn into a vampire. She's like,
that's right.
Remember? And so she's like, listen, here's my story. This is why I am so mean to you. And I don't want you to become a vampire because I want you to have a choice. And I want you to know what choice was taken away from me and right. sort of the consequences and, you know, she wanted to have a child and, you know, can't. Yeah. So anyways,
okay. Okay. Well, I have my PTO set for the 18th, right?
Is it
the 18th of November?
Yes, 18th of November next year. So So yeah, take time off. Everybody, put that on your calendars.
Make a whole day out of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, last week we teased it, but coming up this Friday, May 13th, as we're recording this on a Monday night, Taylor, Rob, and Kristen will be on Oprah for the very first time. Last year, Stephanie Meyer was on Oprah's show, and that was around the time that New Moon was out. Now it's the Stars, and it's the first time they've been on the show, which is pretty cool. I've seen pictures. They look really happy, and in fact, as part of the show, Rob Pattinson, well, Oprah got Rob to go to a Uber fan's house and just visit. You know, like she asked, why do you love Twilight? And, you know, tell us why you're the Uber fan. And this family in Illinois got a little secret surprise when he knocked on their door.
Wow. Yeah, the picture's really cute of him just standing over the family. I'm looking at the website on people.com, and they look so happy. But it's hilarious. The son did a – it looks like at the bottom of this article, there's a picture of the son doing the same pose as Rob Pattinson.
I know.
Oh, nice.
I know. There is.
That's hilarious.
We will definitely link to this for our listeners. But, yeah, they definitely did that pose in the tree.
It's not bad. It actually looks pretty good.
It does. It does look pretty good. And it's at night. Everything's a little bit different there. But so congrats to the family who got Rob to surprise them at their house. And apparently Taylor did the same too and walked in. And I guess a bunch of girls were watching New Moon or something at the house. And then they freaked out. So we will.
How appropriate.
We got to start writing to Oprah.
I know. I'm like, God.
You have to get on the list.
I missed out on, you know, saying, hey, I started a podcast because of Twilight. You know, I mean, come on.
Right. Your name would have been in the
I know. Shows. Maybe it would have been in the running. I don't know. But of course, Rob, Taylor, and Kristen are on Oprah to promo Eclipse. And like we mentioned, a lot of Oprah's fans in the audience got to see the, I would say, close to completed movie as possible. And the rest of us have to wait till June 30th. And apparently you can actually start buying tickets to Eclipse on May 14th via Fandango or movie tickets. And the runtime of the movie is 2 hours and 4 minutes long. So I have to say, Josh and I went to a fabulous conference called Nerdtacular this weekend in Salt Lake City. Yeah, yeah. Our friend Scott Johnson, who is a pretty popular podcaster, had a big event, and it was his
movie theater, and saw Iron Man 2. But
yeah, we saw Iron Man 2 over the weekend. And I mentioned that because before Iron Man 2, there was a trailer for Eclipse.
And Eileen loved what they chose.
Well, here's the thing.
That sounds like the right audience.
Thank you. Thank you. So you see where I'm headed here.
Yeah.
This Iron Man 2, bunch of guys in the audience, you know, especially for this conference Nerdtacular. It's going to be a bunch of nerd guys, okay? Predominantly guys in this audience. And here comes Eclipse. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here's the snickering. They don't show any of the action.
They showed the romantic one?
Yes,
they showed the romantic trailer. And I was so mad. I'm like, of any movie, and I hope this is not happening in all Iron Man 2 trailers.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
There is the trailer with action and biting and jumping and a lot of vampires coming out of the water and looking scary. And, you know, they didn't show that at all. You know, there's the trailer with the Cullens jumping around, you know, about to fight. No. We didn't see any of this. We just see the discussion between Rob. No, I can't even separate him. We see the discussion between Edward and Bella about, listen, you know, I would not choose this life for you because everybody's going to die, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Jacob's like, oh, you should choose me, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and Victoria's back. So they show the jump, you know, they show a really cool jump of Victoria jumping over.
But that was like the one moment of action. Yeah,
yeah, the one moment of action. I don't know how
they probably lost audience by then anyway, though.
Yeah, but it was like tailor-made for that audience to mock it further. Like the other trailer maybe would have made them think, oh, okay, there could possibly be some stuff in here I'd be interested in. But
exactly. Like,
and
this
did they mock it, Eileen?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, they did. There's these guys. These guys they were actually okay. They weren't as bad as I thought they would be. But, you know, it was sort of embarrassing. I was like, oh, God, I can't believe, you know. And the one guy next to me is like, why do they show that trailer to us? Huh? I'm like, well, because there's actually action in here, but you didn't even see it. I mean, God, I don't know why. I don't know what happened. But I was very disappointed with that. So, that was my one tidbit of the weekend. I was like, and so, of course, everybody asked me about the Eclipse trailer, and I was so livid. I was like, I can't believe they didn't show the one where there's action. There's actually action. They've had it out for like a week, 2 weeks now. And no, we didn't get to see it.
Well, they didn't show any other love movies, right?
No, they didn't. They showed Shrek. They showed, oh my God, I can't even remember now.
What were they?
Yeah. Well, no.
They were all pretty much, all the other trailers were very appropriate for that.
Yeah, Prince of Persia.
Someone just screwed up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just think that, okay, look, if you're going to throw it in there because it's going to be one of the biggest summer movies, great. But let's tailor it. Let's show the good stuff, you know? Because the people that are going to see whatever that love movie, the Love Letters movie with Amanda Seyfried this weekend, yeah, they're going to want to see the romantic part, but they're not going to want to see, but the people seeing Iron Man 2 are going to want to, you know, see a little bit more gory, a little bit more action. As gory as Eclipse will be, because it won't be that gory, right. You know? I'm sure there won't even be that much blood, but, you know, at least show something. So I was a little disappointed in that. I don't know exactly what happened. But anyways, moving on. Speaking of Eclipse, the soundtrack is coming out later this month. And apparently, from what we understand, Muse will be on the soundtrack. So they'll be on the Eclipse soundtrack, third soundtrack in a row that Eclipse will participate in the Twilight Saga. And the song is called Neutron Star Collision. I have a link to it. It's super, super, super short. It's almost like just the end note. Did you listen to it, Stephanie?
I did, and I tried real hard to look for like the full song leaked or, you know, anything. I just wanted to hear it, and I couldn't.
I know.
So I'm patiently waiting because I really like Muse. I'm really happy that Stephanie has included them on the soundtrack again.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of, I mean, Muse, speaking of, that band is her muse for the Twilight Saga. So I think it's cool that the band is lending their song to the third movie. There was a lot of talk earlier that that wasn't going to happen, but it is.
Have you heard anything about any other of the artists on the soundtrack?
No, have not heard anything about any other artist other than Muse, and other than the fact that it'll be released, the very first song will be released from the soundtrack on May 17th. So that's coming up. So later at the next week, this time we'll be able to hear the first song. So
yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't include Paramore on the second album.
Me too.
It was such a big deal. Even got a music video on the first Twilight DVD, and I was surprised. So
They just didn't feel like they had a song to fit the movie. I'm sure somebody out there knows the reason why Paramore wasn't on the New Moon soundtrack, and somebody could tell us. But sometimes, you know, if they didn't write a song that fits for the movie or wasn't asked to be a part of the movie, you know, then it's not going to happen. But yeah, they had a pretty popular song, you're right, Twilight. So I can't wait to see the rest of the list of the bands because the soundtrack is really, really good. Even if you're a hater, you gotta like the soundtrack, right? I mean, the soundtrack, did you like the New Moon soundtrack and the Twilight soundtrack?
Yeah, I mean, even Tom York was even on it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on.
They're really that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They know what's big, and you want to include your music and have as much publicity out there. And, you know, who cares if it's Twilight? It's going to sell. So we also have a link to the cover art, which is pretty much the same poster that you've seen probably in movie theaters of the movie Eclipse with Bella front and center and then Edward to her right and Jacob to her left. So looks good, though. Looks really good. Okay, we're going to move on to True Blood news. And there I have a link. I actually posted it on our website, but there is a preview to next week's mini episode. And there's also a little promo of what's to come. And there's a promo of a wolf. And dun, dun, dun. And the hunt begins. It's like 14 seconds and you can actually see the wolf. So yes, it's a very similar wolf to New Moon. And it's got like these sort of glowy eyes and it's in the dark and it's pretty cool. I have it posted
That's
on our site.
Good.
It does look really good. And I guess next week's mini-sode, which usually they release online early during the week before the Sunday show, is going to involve, you'll see Tara, Sookie, and Lafayette. So woohoo, that'll be good.
Can't wait, Lafayette.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. I'm really glad that he survived the books.
Yeah, exactly. I still thought he was going to die, but he was just so captivating. I think they had to keep him.
I know. He's such a good actor. Yeah. And I think that was a really brilliant choice on Alan Ball to keep the character of Lafayette. So, but he did a really good thing at the end of season one, True Blood, is like giving you that cliffhanger, because mm-hmm. people who read the books are probably like, yeah, he's gone. You know, but then he came back. What? So we'll look forward to that. And if we get a link, an early preview of that, we'll be posting that on our website this week as well. Okay, so Charlaine Harris is out and about promoting Dead in the Family, which I'm about 150 pages in, I think.
Ooh,
yeah, I got it. I bought it on my iBook. And, you know, it's pretty good. It leaves... I quickly remembered where everything left off, so that was good. And, you know, I think things are starting to pick up 150 pages in, like, oh, there's already somebody who's died, you know, that kind of thing. So it's looking good so far. I can't really give a complete review yet because I haven't.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I haven't read it. I don't know if I want to know who dies.
Oh, no, I won't tell you. Okay. I won't tell you. But, you know, there's going to be deaths. There's, like, deaths in every book. So, I just have a little article here about Charlaine, and she's done plenty. She was in San Diego over the weekend promoting her book, and I believe she's going to be in San Francisco tomorrow. We're recording this on Monday the 10th. I believe she's going to be in San Francisco on Tuesday the 11th.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't have a book for her to sign, though, because I bought it.
All your books are virtual.
She'll sign your iPad.
I bought mine digital. I know she should sign my iPad, huh? Charlaine, will you sign my iPad, please? So I will just go ahead and, put this link on our website, and you could read a new article about Charlaine. Now, here's something I thought that was really interesting. Over the weekend, I found out that one of... Stephanie, did you watch Battlestar Galactica?
I did not, but I know some of the characters just by looking at the artwork. Okay. And so,
okay. Yeah. Well, Josh, I know you watched it, and Starbuck was played by Katie Sackhoff, and obviously was one of the most popular characters on the show. And you know, she lives on in many other roles. I know she's on 24. She's got a recurring role there. And apparently she was offered the role of Debbie Pelt, a really mean werewolf in True Blood. And she did not accept it.
Aww.
She did not take the role. I mean, granted, it's not like a role that, spoiler, it's not going to last for the duration of the series of True Blood. But it's a really good, meaty role. I mean, she would transform into a werewolf. She would be mean to Sookie.
Was it definitely a thing where she just wasn't interested in the role? It wasn't like a scheduling conflict or anything?
No, it wasn't that she wasn't interested. It's that she decided to go ahead and take a drama pilot called Boston's Finest. And it's a cop show, I believe. And she's a huge fan of the show. And but she wanted more security, you know, as an actress. She probably kind of, you know, she asked Alan if she didn't know the book series. She's just like, okay, who's this Debbie Pelt? And then he told her. And then she's like, well, you know, I mean, it's like anybody, right? Do you want the secure role? Possible. I mean, you don't even know. I mean, I've never heard of this. You know, she's doing this pilot that could turn into a series, mm-hmm. A cop show. And you don't know if that's going to go, or, you know, and you kind of roll the dice, which is what she said. And sort of like, well, I decided to go for this show instead of going on an already iconic show, True Blood, and playing a character that, you know, won't be around
limited time.
Right.
Yeah, has limited time. So what does she do? So she went ahead and picked the cop theme drama. So good luck to her. There is an actor from ER that's going to be on that show, and actress Nia Long, who I really recognize. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
who she is, but they are the three stars of this new ABC cop themed drama, Boston's Finest. So good luck to Katie. It would have been cool to see her be really mean to Sookie, because I think that she totally could have carried that off.
Right.
But, you know, I got to understand, you know, in these economic times, you gotta take, maybe the more secure route. So anyway.
I'm checking out the actress that they did choose for the character on for Debbie on True Blood. Her name is Britt Morgan.
Anyway,
she's cute. She's really pretty, but she definitely doesn't look as mean as Katie. Katie looks, I mean, she's just buff and has this, you know, presence about her. And Britt, I don't know either actress very well, but Britt looks cute, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, with the right makeup and demeanor, you know, hopefully she could turn into that, you know, that role.
She'll just have to work harder at her meanness.
Yeah.
Maybe she is really mean.
But who knows? Yeah, we're just going by the image.
So I thought that was really, really interesting. Okay, last piece of True Blood news. The season 2 soundtrack. We were talking about Eclipse soundtrack. True Blood's going to have their season 2 soundtrack out on May 25th.
Oh, cool.
And there's a whole write-up here. There's going to be original music plus original series volume 2, including... Beck, remember Time Bomb?
Yes.
Time Bomb. Yeah, that's going to be on it, obviously. Lucinda Williams with Elvis Costello, Thievery Corporation, Robbie Robertson, and more. And then, of course,
That M Ward.
What's that?
Oh, I'm just reading through some of more artists. I see M Ward in there.
M Ward, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jace Everett, who did the, you know, theme song. So he's probably going to be on there again. So good stuff.
I love vampire soundtracks. They're always so moody.
Yes.
it's always so deep.
Deep and moody. And then there's got to be some romance in there, you know. And then there's
darkness.
Very intense here and there. Yeah. Yeah, I do too. They always have good soundtracks for these shows. So, looking forward to that. Very, very exciting. Okay, now before we get into the recap for The Vampire Diaries, episode 21, I did want to mention, you know, some of the stars are doing a lot of, you know, they're done shooting, obviously, because the season finale is next week. And they've been done for a little bit. And some of the stars have been doing a lot of, I don't want to say just charity work or do-gooder work, but I mean, that's essentially what it is. Ian Somerhalder is from Louisiana, and with the oil spill that happened, like 2 weeks ago, I believe, he went back down and is trying to, you know, show people what they can do to help clean up. And he's, you know, I have a link to a quick video interview with him from NOLA.com, and we'll share that with you. But you know, he's been very concerned. If you follow him on Twitter, then you know he's been heartbroken about this whole event. And you know, he loves animals. He's always tweeting about, you know, Humane Society animals and things like that. So he's out there right now, and you know, doing whatever he can to, you know, help clean up, you know, and like saving animals, saving birds and, you know, other animals that are affected by the oil spill. So, you know, kudos to him for going out there and doing that. I mean, I think when it happened and, you know, he was done shooting, he immediately just, even though he was in LA, he just jetted back to the Gulf to do whatever he could and to shed light on what's happening. So
that's really sweet. You can tell he really cares.
Yeah, he really does care. Yeah, just check him out, Ian Somerhalder on Twitter. And you can just read his various posts. He's really, you know, he's heartbroken about this whole thing. So I'm sure he'll be tweeting out more, you know, until it's fixed. Yeah. And Candace Akula and Catherine Graham, who play Bonnie and Caroline, respectively, have recorded some PSAs promoting education of Lyme disease and what it is and what you need to know and how dangerous it is. And Catherine Graham, who plays Bonnie, you know, even kind of fit her PSA to, you know, talk about, you know, blood-sucking vampires. Well, these are these blood-sucking ticks, you know, that kind of thing, just trying to kind of like shed light. So I'll have a link also to both of those PSAs, and you could check that out. So if you want to learn more about Lyme disease, they are raising awareness. So thanks to Candace and Katarina. So, yeah, it's, you know, I've known some people with Lyme disease, and it's a difficult thing to go through. And you're like, what is a tick, you know? But they can cause some pretty severe, you know, not pretty severe, like side effects, you know, like seizures and things like that. So it's, right. It's no like light thing. It's no, just, it's not a bug. It's not just a bug bite. You know what I mean? It's
right.
The whole kind of lifestyle thing. So, kudos to them for, you know, putting their face out there. All right. Well, this was a big episode. So why don't we go ahead and get into it? The Vampire Diaries recap for episode 21, Isabel. Well, I almost don't know where to begin, but we might as well just, you know.
Begin at the beginning.
It picks up right where the show left off. We saw poor Alaric drinking his, you know, heart away at Mystic Grill. And
where he finally earned his freedom.
Yeah, he finally said, you know what, I'm done. I'm so done. I'm not going to
look good riddance.
But just as you know, when you finally let go, that person might come your way. And that person was Isabel. She kind of walked up to him and said, hello, Rick, in that way. And he's just like, you know, you can see it in his eyes, like, what the F? What?
Right, right.
It's like, where have you been?
Exactly. And, you know, he's just like, where have you been and what's been going on? And she knows what he wants. She knows that he wants some answers, you know, why. That kind of thing. And she just says,
heartbroken.
It was. Yeah. And he's just like, listen, I was in love with you. You're my wife. You know, I know you loved me too. And what happened to you? And she's like, I don't have any good answers. You know, I wanted this and this and that. I mean, she's kind of going roundabout, you know, like, I don't have any answers that'll, you know, that'll help you, Rick. I just keep calling him Rick, even though I just know him as Lark. So that was pretty heartbreaking because she wasn't giving anything. And then she just says, listen, I want you. Oh, she just says it as a matter of fact. I know you know my daughter, Elena. And like, hello, like you've never mentioned this to your husband that you had a daughter, right. You know, when you were 15, 16 years old. She's like, I just want to meet. I want to meet. And, you know, I loved his reaction. He's like, you know, you selfish bitch, and just, you know, decides to walk away. But of course, you know, she's like speedy vampire, you know, pretty much.
She uses some violent persuasion.
Yeah. I mean,
threatening to kill.
Yeah, she's just.
I was surprised that she was that mean to him. Like, she really has gone so far as to have no emotion and no remorse over what she did to this poor Rick.
I know. Right. It was really sad. Yeah, it was really, really sad.
Really sad, yeah.
And, you know, she basically threatens to kill his history students if, you know, she doesn't have the meeting with Elena. And, you know, that pretty much shocks him. And so he tells Elena, and Elena's like, well, of course I have to go meet her. And they have a really interesting conversation, one of which is the fact that, you know, as soon as she says hello, the next thing is like, wow, you look just like her, meaning Catherine, you know, and like Catherine would love to see you, you know, like, my God, you know, they look exactly alike. But they have a little bit more of a conversation. It doesn't just end there.
Who's my father?
Not important. He was a teenage waste of space.
A name would be nice.
It would, wouldn't it? You ask a lot of questions.
Why did you compel that man to kill himself? Right after he told me to stop looking for you.
Traumatic impact. Wish it would have been more effective.
Human life means that little to you?
Means nothing to me. It's just part of being what I am.
No, it's not. I know other vampires. That's not true.
You and your boyfriend over there by the pool table? Stefan Salvatore.
Why Stefan? Why didn't you go for Damon? Or do you enjoy them both? Like Catherine did.
Ouch.
That was kind of unnecessary.
It really was. I thought it was too. She was just being snippy. I mean, basically, you know, most of the conversation centers around the fact that Isabel wants the invention. She wants that right. device that Damon has. And Elena's like, I don't have it, weirdo. And she's like, but you can get it from Damon. She's like, well, you know, what do you think? He won't give it to me. And then, of course, Isabel is just, you know, playing hardball. And like, well, then the blood will be on your hands, mm-hmm. you know. And of course, Elena knows what she means by that. So. You know, I thought that was really, you know, like a very obviously unfortunate way to meet your birth mom.
Right. That's pretty terrible.
My birth mom's a vampire.
Unfortunate reunion, yes.
Oh, my birth mom is a, you know, bitchy vampire. Awesome. This really rocks. And then Bonnie walks into the bar and, you know, Elena's just about to cry.
That was so sad.
That was really sad. All of that was sad. And I'm glad Stefan was there, even though, you know, Isabel didn't want anybody there. At least, you know, I guess she was just saying no Damon, no other vampires. But I guess she just let Stefan slide, which was nice because, I mean, Elena was obviously frightened because you don't know. I mean, it's broad daylight. And it's in a public place, so hopefully she wouldn't do anything. But it's still scary, you know. You need some kind of emotional support, I would think, you know, like somebody there that you could kind of look at, even if that was from mm-hmm. a distance. And that was good that Stefan was there. So now also we finally get revealed that Uncle John, mm-hmm. right, is working with Isabel to get the device. And, you know, John didn't, you know, John hasn't really succeeded, and Isabel isn't too happy with that.
So, I assume that you still don't have the invention.
I'll get it. I said I would.
You threatened to expose Damon Salvatore. That didn't work. You killed that Pearl Lady. Still no invention. I really don't think that your plan is working, John.
Well, you being here isn't going to help anything.
You failed, John. I'm gonna take it from here.
Yeah. So, you know, that's exactly why she, you know, wanted to meet Elena, starting the ball rolling. I mean, who knows what's under, you know, what obviously, as we find out, Catherine wants it. So, you know, Catherine's pretty persuasive. So if she's telling, you know, and she's obviously more powerful than Isabel. Mm-hmm. So if Catherine wants something, she's going to tell Isabel to be her minion to go get it. So, you know.
Anyone do anything they want.
I know.
Anything she wants. I mean, gosh, like if she's working with John, she's really crappy to him.
I know.
Right, right.
Really crappy. It just brings up the fact that I really can't wait for to see Catherine.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, what? God, she wants all of this. So, you know, show yourself, right? And I love the scene where Damon shows up at Isabel's house, or her house that she broke into, mm-hmm. that's under foreclosure. I like that they talked about it. He's like,
the most expensive house.
You taught me that, right? I'm watching their little exchange, and I'm like, God, yeah, he made her. That's interesting. That's right. It's because of him that she's a vampire. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, you know, she's kind of slapping him around. I'm like, dude, Damon, you're the maker.
Older and more powerful.
Yeah. In any other vampire story, aren't you supposed to, you know, be able to like hold her down? And he did at the end, basically.
Yeah,
finally.
That was a good switch. Yeah.
It kind of weirded me out to see them getting all hot and heavy, though.
That was, yeah. I was like, really, Damon?
She's 30.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, you know, they're sexual creatures, right? So he didn't really have his mind on it. He was just trying to.
Yeah, he was just playing. Point,
basically. I was a little confused because I was thinking about, I was getting mixed up with True Blood, and I guess vampires don't really like each other sexually in that story, unless you're the queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so, but, and apparently in Vampire Diaries, it looks like they can still hook up, or they do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that seems to be implied. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're a little looser.
Yeah, weird subject, but I think that's why I got weirded out.
You're like, vampires don't do that.
Yeah,
although
especially with her.
Right, right.
Gosh. Although, but Damon made Isabel, or are you talking about the other vampire?
Damon and Isabel.
Oh, okay. But Damon, so Damon did make Isabel, so they would have some kind of a bond, you know. That's true.
Right.
That bond for a little bit. But yeah, you're kind of looking at it like, that's Elena's mom.
Yeah.
Weird. But at the same time, Damon is much, much older than Isabel, too. So he's that's, you know, if you're talking age, creepy. It's all creepy.
Well, that creep factor is pretty much in all.
All vampire
human romances. So
exactly.
I was proud of Damon, though, how he handled it at the end, where he kind of like put his hand around her throat and told her that, you know, if Catherine wants something, the bitch should come get it herself.
Exactly.
Oh, and also that he mentioned, don't threaten people I care about, meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting reveal, because that was just between him and Isabel. That wasn't for anyone else's benefit. Mm-hmm. So it seemed to be something that was coming from his non-beating heart.
Yeah, his non-beating heart, exactly. Well, before we move on to the rest of that story, I do want to take a little side note about Jeremy, who's looking for Anna. Last we saw, Anna was devastated because her mom just bit it.
Thanks to Uncle John.
Yeah. Both her and Henry. So that was pretty sad. So, you know, Jeremy's calling, like, where are you? Hey, Anna, where are you? So he's in the search. And at the same time, Jeremy becomes the center of some of this, you know, I want this invention crap from Isabel. And Isabel corners Elena at the, I don't know, what do you call it? The building of the Founders Day float outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, she basically says, look, you got to get it for me. Do whatever you can. Otherwise, I'm going to kill your brother. And they steal him away, of course. I thought it was interesting, though, that Isabel called Uncle John to come to her house and show him that she had his nephew. You know? So, I don't know. Did you guys think that was weird? I thought that was weird. You know?
I just thought it was an example of how crazy she is and what she'll do to get what she wants. Because at this point, she's pretty much turning on John. And she doesn't care that Jeremy is family to John. She doesn't care anymore. She's just selfish. So,
yeah.
So to me, it wasn't that surprising because she was just showing so many of her bad sides already.
Yeah. It's just all gone. And that's what that's what John says to her. Are you so far gone that you're going to kill my nephew? You know, you're going to kill a kid? You know, come on, Isabel. So, you know, he gets a little beat up. She takes his protection ring. And John and Jeremy have a little talk as they're being held.
Why would a vampire help you kill other vampires?
She has her own reasons for wanting them dead. Look, Jeremy, no one ever thought vampires would return to this town. Not in modern times, but they have. And we have to destroy them.
All of them? No, there are some good ones out there.
There's no such thing.
Okay, so, you know, of course, Jeremy is saying, yeah, you know, there are some good ones out there. Just like Elena was telling Isabel, mm-hmm. You know, no, I know that there are some good vampires out there. And, you know, Isabel was like, who, Stefan Salvador, your boyfriend back there? Right. And, you know, I know that Jeremy's alluding to Anna, obviously, because Anna has been really good to him and has not killed him or, you know, anything like that. So
that's a good point of any relationship, not being killed by the significant other.
It is really good, isn't it? I do like the fact, though, that John is not lying to Jeremy anymore. You know, Elena's done enough lying in this whole thing to try and protect Jeremy. But Jeremy's old enough now and he obviously has a relationship going on with a vampire that he can handle this. And I think this is going to be interesting. So you know, it's sort of like at this point, I'm like, huh. So is Jeremy going to trust John? But then when and I'm just going to skip to the end when Anna shows up in his bedroom crying,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's obviously going to tell him that Uncle John killed her mom. Like, where would his allegiance lie?
Yeah, you that know? Will be interesting.
This is a little more complicated than before. So I'm really interested in trying to figure out, you know, where Jeremy's cards are going to be, you know, who he's going to side with, you know.
And he still wants to turn, right? Like, didn't he say that?
Yeah, I think he definitely, I think he still wants to turn. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he will side with Anna.
I think he's going to side with Anna.
And I hope nothing I'm just like, oh God, I hope she's not a casualty in this whole thing.
I know, me too.
It's just one of those, like, I keep hearing the season finale is going to be big, huge, crazy, you know? I'm like, okay.
You know, you're like, someone is going to die and you're
well,
just
you're
like,
not going to kill Elena, Stefan, or Damon, period. You may make it seem like that might happen, but you know the three of them, they're coming back. So I'm not worried about them. And Bonnie seems to be someone who, you know, as a witch, is going to continue in the story. So I don't know. I'm just that's my guess.
I don't think the cards are in John's favor. I mean, he doesn't really have many people on his side. Plus, he doesn't have his ring.
That's true. He is a high candidate to be,
and
the casualty.
He's just highly unlikable too.
You are pleading with this. You should make your plea right now, dear Vampire Diaries executive producer.
Please kill John. Thank you.
So I think that's going to be really interesting because, you know, I it's just another card in the story, you know, another thing that can go wrong, you know. In the meantime, Elena and Bonnie have made a little bit of amends because Bonnie obviously felt sorry for Elena after she saw her crying at Mystic Grill. And Bonnie decides to show her a big book that she has.
That's the vampire compass.
Yeah, according to Emily, Jonathan Gilbert never actually succeeded in inventing anything. Emily secretly spelled them all with magic. Compass. Rings. The mystery device you told me about.
Yeah, that's it. Well, part of it. Damon only has the one piece.
Emily pledged her loyalty to Catherine. But she couldn't stand by and watch innocent people get killed. This was the only way she could think of to help. To let Jonathan Gilbert believe he'd actually invented these devices.
Does it say what it does?
Are you sure this is what Isabel wants?
Yeah, I'm sure. Why?
This is a weapon. Against vampires.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so, we discover that device is a weapon against vampires, and, you know, geez, what the heck would Isabel want with it? But, I kind of saw an inkling in Bonnie's eyes here. I don't know what. Maybe I just, you know.
I was kind of suspicious too, yeah.
Yeah, were you suspicious?
Mm-hmm. I was.
So Elena decides to convince Damon to give her the device so she could give it to Isabel and that she could, you know, get Jeremy back, who's in captivity, supposedly. Well, we saw him with Uncle John, who got beat up. So, you know, Damon's like, I don't trust you. I almost killed you. And she's like, yep. and he's like, you're not as good as Emily. And she's like, no, I've been practicing. And so she does this whole little thing. And he's like, oh, that was great.
Little book trick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The little book trick, right? And so the next time we see the three of them, Damon, you know, does trust Elena and gave her the device, which is another sort of like, wow, they are friends. You know, he trusts her. If I were Damon, I wouldn't give it to anybody. I would have thrown it away. And then Bonnie does a little hocus pocus. And you know what? Honestly, it happens so fast to take away the supposed spell of her great-grandmother, great-great-great-grandmother, would it be? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What did you guys think when she was doing the spell to the device? I mean, did you buy it?
Well, I don't understand witchcraft in its entirety. At the time I believed it. I mean, you know, I knew that they weren't going to drag it out very long, but you know, there was the fire and it was flying in the air. They were really trying to, you know, at least show us that something serious was going on with it.
True.
Right. So I believed it at the time. Yeah.
I was ambivalent. They definitely were showing, you know, they were showing something magical was going on, but I was like, what's Emily's real, you know, I mean, what are the intentions here? So I was a little suspicious that she might not be.
You know, I may be remembering the second time I watched the episode because the first time I think I was like, whoa, oh, she got rid of it. And the second time I watched it, because I almost always watch these episodes twice, I kind of felt like it was short. You know, like, wow, that Hocus Pocus, that didn't take too long to take a really important
huge, spell,
spell
right.
away from, you know, that device. So maybe that's kind of what I'm remembering is the second time I saw it, you know. You know, she convinces everybody that she, you know, did something to that device to make it unusable. And so Elena's like, great, I'm going to go give it to Isabel. And they have a little confrontation outside in the town square in front of everyone.
You were never going to hurt him.
No, I was going to kill him.
Don't look for any redeeming qualities in me.
I don't have any.
But you took a risk with Damon.
How did you know that he was going to give it to me?
Because he's in love with you.
Goodbye, Elena.
As long as you have a Salvatore on each arm, you're doomed.
Catherine was smart. She got out. But we all know that you're not Catherine.
Another cold-blooded response. You know, I skipped the part where Elena's like, you know, you were a big disappointment, you know, that kind of thing. And then she said something about, you know, the memory of my real mother is upheld, you know, that kind of thing, her adopted mother. What do you think about that warning, you guys, about, you know, if you're doomed if you stay with any Salvatore brother?
Well, I thought that maybe there was starting to be a connection of, you know, the device support. You know, being a weapon and Isabel wanting it at that point, because, you know, maybe she has this plan that she wants to kill the Salvatore brothers. Don't know. But well, I mean, like, why would she, if she didn't care about Elena, why would she even give her that advice?
That's true. That's true. What did you think, Josh?
Yeah, I thought, well, I mean, the whole show has been hinting at history repeating itself with Elena and the brothers. So it is interesting now that someone has actually spoken that directly and that it comes from this relatively evil person. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think they're obviously going to, that's going to be some sort of issue for probably both the finale and season two. So,
Yeah. Well, you know, I think obviously, let's just go ahead and get the elephant out of the room. The biggest thing that we find out in this episode, well, you know what? I'll let Damon tell us the big reveal of this episode.
What truth?
About John?
Busy, I know you guys don't like to keep secrets from each other.
What are you talking about?
Am I the only one around here who has the ability to put two and two together? Isabel.
Hello?
She dated John when she was 15. She gets pregnant and ends up at the doctor's office of John's brother. Now, what do you think John's role is in all this?
I mean, go ahead. Think about it. I'll wait.
You get it? You there, Ann?
So you think that John is Elena's father?
Ding, 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 ding.
What proof do you have?
I don't need any proof. That's a DNA test for John and Elena and Maury Povich to deal with. But I know how well you deal with these big bombshells, so sleep tight.
Okay. Well, thanks, Damon. You know what? I did not put two and two together, I have to say, until he said that. And I was like, what? I think I literally, like, my jaw dropped. I'm like, no. So she is a Gilbert after all.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Uncle John is not really Uncle John anymore to her. But she doesn't know that, obviously. Not yet.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty cool. That was a big reveal for me. I was duped on that. What about you guys?
I was surprised, but I, you know, after thinking about it, I mean, it makes total sense.
Totally makes
like
sense.
Because at first I had no idea why, like, how does Isabel know John? But, you know, right. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, but I didn't put it together when she said to Damon early on that, you know, he had a crush and we dated, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, she mentioned that earlier. And I didn't, looking back, I'm like, oh, that was a kind of a clue.
Right. Yeah. You know? When she first said that, I was just like, oh, okay, so that's kind of like the hold she has over him. But yeah, I didn't suspect anything further than that.
Yeah. And then it just makes sense. You know, I'm like, oh, God. So I remember way back when we were talking about the tomb And, you know, the fact that supposedly the Pearl could not, had a spell that she couldn't be awakened unless she had a Gilbert blood. And then we were like, well, wait a minute. You know, Elena's not a Gilbert. She's adopted. Well, you know what? Now we know that she really is a Gilbert. No right. problem in that storyline right. anymore. There's no hole in that. So, now, we do find out that Isabel does have some redeeming qualities after all. And it kind of starts when she actually says goodbye to Alaric at the high school.
I wanted this. I needed this. And I'm gonna regret it forever. This was my mistake. Not yours. You are not gonna remember this. I loved you. I did. And when I think about what I gave up, it hurts. But now, your heart's free of me. It's easier this way. Goodbye, Rick.
You know, and I think that I think earlier Damon was talking about how as vampires, you kind of suppress that, you know, your just instinct is to be mean and that kind of thing. But she right. did. She is a new vampire, right? So
yeah,
I don't know.
She's using using her vampire-ness to cover up her emotions. Like she could just say like, oh, I don't have emotions because I'm a vampire.
So. Exactly. Right. And so the next thing we see her do is call John. And, you know, she pretty much has a heart-to-heart talk, you know. Elena's our daughter. You know, you hear, oh, she gave him back the ring, first of all. Yeah. Here's your ring. Mm-hmm. Here's the device. You know, set it in motion. And I want to add two more people on that list. Kill all the tomb vampires. And you have to kill two more, the Salvatore brothers. And she's like, mm-hmm. listen, she's our daughter. I don't want this life for her, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, she's kind of already sensing like, oh, she's probably going to want to turn into a vampire.
Yeah.
They even had that they even had sort of a conversation about that at Mystic Grill. You know, like you're lying if you're not saying the truth that you have been thinking about turning into a vampire because you're going to get old.
Right.
But it basically, you know, we see some regret from Isabel turning into a vampire and leading this life. After all, and you know, I thought that was kind of telling. You know,
yeah. it kind of ultimately actually... she's protecting Elena.
Ultimately,
she thinks she is.
Right.
Yeah, she's like, well, just kill the brothers so she won't love them. She won't fall in love with a vampire anymore. Just have her move on. You know, and have
Do
her.
Do you
have
think that's why she wants the weapon or the compass looking weapon?
Well, I think Catherine wants it. Well, do you remember John had a conversation with Jeremy? I didn't put this there, but it was sort of like he was telling Jeremy that there are certain vampires that are mad and want to take over
the town.
Right.
And they want to take vengeance, you know. But then John was turning it all around saying, well, we just need to kill all vampires, period. You know, and so that's why he wants that device. So I don't know what John's ultimate goal is, if he just wants to really wipe out all vampires, including Isabel and Catherine. You know, that's my guess, is that he's working under his own volition, you know, trying to side with the vampires. But, you know, after all, it's sort of like he wants them all dead because, you know, humans would think they're evil. You know, yeah. there's no good redeeming quality in any vampire. So
yeah, he truly believes that. I mean, that's what he told Jeremy.
Right.
So
exactly.
Doesn't want Jeremy to get involved either. He has proper, you know, he has reason to kill vampires because both Elena and Jeremy are going to be driven to this vampire lifestyle that they don't want. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, I think, you know, this to me was like more of a reveal, not like super, oh my God, crazy. Mm-hmm. But it was good. I thought it was another good episode, obviously a really good launching point for the finale and whatever's going to happen at Founders Day. And that, you know, we see in the preview, the fire and all of this. And I'm glad that there is some redeeming qualities to Isabel.
Yeah, that was good.
Man, she was such a bitch early on. I'm like, God, really? And yeah. all of, you know, especially Alaric was like, I don't believe you. You know, my wife, you know, and then John, they were all like, there's some, isn't there part of the real Isabel in there? And she was just putting up a front the entire time. So,
right.
Yeah.
I just want to read a couple of reactions from Lynn. She wrote in, even though she can't be on the show today, but she said her reactions to the episode. Shocker. I had no idea that Elena's birth father is Uncle John. I was surprised at the end when Isabel said she didn't want this kind of life for Elena to Uncle John. It was a bit hypocritical to me. And I was confused by Isabel one minute. She's got a bit of a human compassion, another cold, nasty vampire. Damon, again, surprised me with his human side. I think she really likes Damon. I think she favors Damon. Like, she's team Damon. I'm team Stefan. You know what I mean? I think so. She hasn't outright said that, uh-huh. but I think so. Damon, again, surprised me with his human side and his care for Elena. Did Isabel get it right? Damon's in love with Elena. That's right.
She did say
that. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. That she said that to Elena.
That's why he'll give it to you. It's give the device to you.
Right.
He's in love with you.
Well, and like we mentioned earlier, he said, you know, people I care about.
Yes.
You know, like,
right.
Why would he care about anyone? He's a vampire, right. You know?
He also said that Elena was his only friend as well.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have any friends. He's like the one, right. She's the one person that he has as a friend.
Yep. Right. He told that to Stefan when Stefan was like, look, at the risk of sounding like the jealous boyfriend here. And he's like, face it, Damon's like, face it. Yeah, you are, you know. The looks Elena gave Damon and Stefan gave Damon after the device was passed on to Isabel sets up love triangle for season two, perhaps.
Right.
I kind of agree with that. Bonnie reveals to Caroline, not in details. Oh, we almost forgot about this, that she lied to Elena.
Oh, yeah,
now
yeah.
that device yeah. is in John's hands, Damon and Stefan are unaware of the danger ahead. This definitely sets up next week's finale. I wish I can watch. So, yeah, that was one part of the thing that we almost forgot to recap was the fact that at the very end, Bonnie cryptically tell Caroline,
yeah.
you know,
she didn't change. She didn't undo the spell.
Right.
Yeah.
So that makes your suspicions correct of how it was really fast to get rid of an old, old, old spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, I'm like,
still didn't do it.
Yeah, I was thinking Bonnie's not that good yet, is she?
Right.
Graham's just died, you know? I mean, I know she's been practicing or whatever, but I'm like, I don't think Bonnie she can't. She can't have like had all of her knowledge within like the month or so, you know, that we last saw her. So, I don't know. I mean, again, that's another thing looking back on, it's like Bonnie's still a young witch. She can't know everything yet. There's just no way. So,
the Salvatore brothers are going to be pissed.
Oh, no. I know.
Especially Damon. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I wouldn't even want to be Bonnie if you know, mm-hmm. Damon finds out. But she
knows that they're going to find out because she was telling Caroline, like, this is, you know, like when Elena finds out, she's not going to forgive me. Like, that's mm-hmm. what she was saying. So I think right. she's. Yeah. expecting it. She looks really nervous.
But she's still pissed because Graham's died because of them.
Yeah, you know? I mean, she's got an ultimate goal to screw the vampires over. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly.
A bigger goal than being friends again with Elena.
Yeah, I think their friendship is going to be on the rocks for season two some more. You know, I think this is just the beginning. It's funny because I watched the pilot recently and they were such best buds. I mean, it was like the right. Caroline was the one who was the outcast, you know, and, you know, like sort of the snotty whoever. And Bonnie was Elena's super best friend and everything. Yeah. So it's funny how, you know, things change. Things change really, really
That's
fast.
That's how girls are, you know?
Yeah. I know.
Can't be helped. All right.
I have now I'm really looking forward to next week's finale or this week's finale, actually. But we do have some emails that we didn't get to last week, and I wanted to kind of get to them and some submissions on our website. But I wanted to start with some emails and. Let's see. Let me start with Chrissy, who says, hey, guys, just finished listening to episode 41. I was so glad that you guys were able to do an episode while on vacation. I have a couple of comments about the rings. We've always talked about the rings on Vampire Diaries.
Too so she gives many rings.
She gives us a little bit of tidbit. In the books, Catherine had the rings made from a stone called lapis lazuli. It protects them from the sun. I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't read the books, but there are a lot less vampires roaming around in the books. I'm pretty sure that Alaric's and Uncle John's rings are different from Damon and Stefan's. Uncle John said that Alaric's ring was his brother's, Elena's adopted dad, so maybe they've been passed down through the generations. It possibly could have come from Jonathan Gilbert, 1864. Alaric's ring was a gift from Isabel, so maybe she got it from Uncle John. Yeah, I think she's getting this right here. Didn't he tell Damon that he was the one that sent Isabel to him? I hope that yes. all makes sense. I love the podcast and look forward to listening each week. Thanks, Chrissy. So I think now we've kind of discovered, I mean, based on what Emily told Elena, that the rings are all, I mean, Emily put a spell on everything and made it look like Jonathan Gilbert had made these things, but it wasn't true. You know, it was all based on Emily's spells. Is that making sense, you guys?
Yes.
I don't know that Alaric and Uncle John's rings are different, because if they would have given it to Jonathan Gilbert, then it's all sort of the same, right? Maybe? Well, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. The rings confuse me.
I know they do.
There's just too many rings. But is she saying they're different between John and Alaric's rings? Because they both...
No, Alaric and John's are the same, but Damon and Stefan's are different from Alaric and John's.
Oh, yeah, I think they're totally different. I mean, Alaric and John are not even vampires, so I think they serve a different purpose.
Right, but were they still created by Emily back in the day?
Maybe, because Isabel gave the ring to Alaric, right? And John, so she had to get him from Catherine?
Possibly.
Like, how did, because I don't know if she got these rings from Catherine for sure, so...
That's true.
And unless she got them from Catherine, I mean, I don't think that they have the same function at all.
That's true. This might, yeah. So they might, yeah. Maybe they aren't Emily's spells.
Yeah, the source might be different for...
Because I couldn't see, you know, Catherine, you know, letting Isabel just give these rings to whoever she wanted, like mere humans, you know?
That's true. Okay, everybody out there listening, give us your theory on the rings.
That's right. Ring theory time.
The difference between Alaric and Uncle John's compared to Damon and Stefan's. So I just figured maybe they were all cut from the same stone, this lapis, whatever, that she's the lapis lazuli. And then for humans, it would give them the power not to die. And same for vampires, so that they could walk during the day and not die.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. It seems like there would have been more hints in that direction, like saying like, oh, the, you know, the carving on the ring is different, but it's actually, you know, it's actually somehow the same. Like, I think they would have, yeah, I think there's different sources for them. I have the feeling they were all forged or made at the same time, but we still don't really know the source of John and Alaric's rings.
Right.
I think it's a bit early to tell.
Yeah, probably. All we know is that they stay alive. So, yes. Okay. Speaking of rings, our next email is from Jennifer. And she says, in episode 41, you were discussing the Vampire Diaries and how there are so many people with rings. I mean, this is like the big topic. We just need to have a forum discussion about these rings. I went back and watched the episode In Control and saw something interesting at the 30:47 mark. When John was ringing the bell, there is a very clear shot of his ring, and it has a wolf on it. Interesting, huh?
Oh, that's right.
I keep wondering how long it will be before we see the werewolf. Interesting. Yeah, I think that very good get, Jennifer. Very good get. So I'm going to go and pause at 30:47 as well and look at that ring in more detail. So if there is a wolf, now that's a different, you know... that's a whole other clan, you know, can of worms that we haven't even. I mean, we keep thinking Tyler, right? The mayor's son and the mayor,
right,
they're
there's
werewolves.
Been hints about that, yeah,
but nothing
solid so far. Yeah,
I don't know. So that's a good get. I love that email. Okay, and last week, this is from Kim. We talked about Team Switzerland. And Kim wrote to us. She said, enjoying the show and had to stop in the middle to comment. Okay, this is for Lynn. Chapter 6 of Eclipse is called Switzerland. Bella says, I believe that, but I want you to know something. When it comes to all this enemies nonsense, I'm out. I'm a neutral country. I'm Switzerland. I refuse to be affected by territorial disputes between mythical creatures. Jacob is family. You are, well, not exactly the love of my life, because I expect to love you for much longer than that. The love of my existence. I don't care who's a werewolf and who's a vampire. If Angela turns out to be a witch, she can join the party too. I kind of remember that line, actually, when she's talking to Edward, basically, and she's like, okay, look, if someone else is a freak, I don't give a freak. Kim goes on to say, the mythical creatures line is one of the best in the book. And she attached a link to one of her favorite Switzerland songs by the Bella Cullen Project. I've heard of this band, so I will go ahead and link to that song in our show notes. So thanks, Kim. I like that. She like clearly, you know, took out that paragraph in Eclipse. So thank you. Thank you. We have another email from Gary. He said, I'm listening to you while I'm mowing. And I stopped to come in
mowing?
And comment. Yeah, he's mowing his lawn. Awesome. He had something to say. He wanted to comment on the show. You were talking about how Breaking Dawn might be split into two movies, and I know of one split movie that worked. Superman and Superman 2 were supposed to be one movie and ended up in two movies, and it is still probably my most favorite movies. I still haven't seen the second season of True Blood because HBO has a weird way of releasing their shows to DVDs that take four freaking ever. Can't wait to see it. All right. So thank you for that. Yeah, because we were talking about what movies were split into two that could have been one based on what, you know, that kind of thing. And I was mentioning Harry Potter, the very last book, is going to be split into two movies, as I hope that Breaking Dawn is as well. Mm-hmm. So thanks for that, Gary. And we just, you know, I wanted to mention a couple of emails to our website, if I could actually properly type bikeclubshow.com onto my browser. But okay, the first is from Haley, who says, you should have Stephanie on every week. Lovely voice.
Oh, Haley. Thanks. Thanks, I'm back.
Also, there was another comment from Tabby who says, great episode overall. I can't believe the Vampire Diaries season finale is so close. It's going to be crazy. Stephanie was a great addition to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Question. Here's our big question. I'm also of the opinion that Elena and Damon are better as kind of a brother-sister friendship than romantic. Do you think the writers will have the guts to veer away from the books and not have them get involved? I know they will tease it, but I just don't want it to go that way. Great show, guys. Thanks for keeping me up to date on all the current tweets so I don't have to read all of them. You're welcome, Gabby. Yeah, I know we were talking about that. So I mentioned that in the books, Damon and Elena get together. So I think, at least for the first several seasons, that it's not going to go that fast. And I don't know if they're ever going to have a romantic relationship, or if something's going to happen to Stefan where he falls off the bandwagon again, you know,
right.
And he's like completely, you know, out of sorts. But
they're going to draw out the tension for some time.
I think you got to. And then maybe at the end of season three is like they hook up and then there's big jealousy issues or something. I don't know. But I do think that they are gonna, well, I don't know how far away from the books that they're gonna veer away. I know that the executive producer, Kevin Williamson, and Julie Plec have said that the central romance is Stefan and Elena. And, you know, they have asked them in the past, you know, is Elena gonna turn into a vampire? And, you know, they're like, no, she's gonna be a high school student, but in the books she does turn. So
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, she does. So, and she turns, I think, really early, like book one or two or something like that. So, apparently, they're not.
That'd be weird if she turns in the TV show so early. Like, I don't think they should do that.
I don't think they should do that too.
Because there's no struggle. I mean, like, there are her high school struggle. It's not going to be there.
Well, maybe it'll be after she graduates, like Bella.
Bella. The moral lesson is finish school, kids, before you become vampires.
Exactly. We got a comment on the werewolf video that I posted on our website and for True Blood. You know, we just talked about that earlier in the show. And Cass says, True Blood has some cool looking vampires, but those are some gay looking werewolves. Not very impressed. Okay. Really? I kind of thought it was cool. Really? You don't like it, Cass? Okay, that's cool. That's fair. You don't have to like it.
I didn't like the Twilight werewolves at first,
but you like them now.
Yeah, they grew on me. The very first trailer I saw, I was like, "Ooh, that doesn't look very good." I thought it was a little cheesy, but
I think these are going to be similar. So yeah. You know, maybe Cass, maybe you don't like the Twilight werewolves. Is that it? So then that's why you don't like these. But we'll see. I'm really more interested in the transformation. I want to see how that's going to happen. You know, how they're going to show these people, you know, turning to the moon. So, we got another comment early on. I had posted a preview to Isabel on our blog, and Kat said, "Am I the only one who prefers Vampire Diaries to Twilight? Actually, I'm pretty confident I am. Their plots run in such the same fashion, so I'm not really sure why I'm so hung up on this stupid show." Yeah, they kind of are similar in a way, but yet they're different, obviously. So I don't know. I've been thinking about this. Do I prefer Vampire Diaries to Twilight? Or is it because it's on right now? Because I was pretty addicted to Twilight when I was reading the books and, you know, after seeing the first movie and that kind of thing. So I don't know. How about you, Stephanie? Do you have a preference at all? Or can you even make a preference at this point?
I think they're different, but I think that Elena and Bella are just very different characters. Bella is, you know, she'd die for, you know, Edward, you know, in a, you know, drop of a dime. But I think Elena's a little bit stronger, more independent. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. I think the stories are different enough for me where I can enjoy them both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's interesting you say that about Elena. I thought a lot about that. I really think she might be the stronger character compared to Bella. I mean, she is just,
Bella was like, "If you're not in this world, I don't want to be in it." Or maybe that
was
that.
Like, yeah. I mean, she was willing,
pretty much codependent couple.
Yeah, they really are. You mean Bella and Edward?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are. But as high school students, you know, as like this guy, I know he's 108 years old or whatever, but he never really woke up from, he never really lived teenage years. He kind of like was this sort of walking vampire for a long time, you know? And then this is like his first true love. So he's kind of almost like in that romantic sense is like he's still a teenager in love as well. So like, you know, teenage love, like, "Oh, I'm hopelessly, I can't live without you," you know, that kind of thing. That's kind of what I feel is being portrayed there. Elena is a little more realistic, I think. I mean, she was gonna walk away from Stefan. She said, "It's your choice." She gave him the ring. She's like, "You could throw it in the quarry. I'm gonna turn around." You could see she was in pain, but she wasn't gonna try and stop him. She was just gonna like, "Look, it's your choice, dude. I can't make your choice for you." And then even this episode, when she was standing up to Isabel, you know, she like bravely went into the restaurant, even though I know it was in public, but like also in front of the town square when she was going to give Isabel the device, you know, who knows what Isabel would have done. You know, I mean, now we know that Isabel has redeeming qualities, but we didn't know when they were meeting. And, you know, Isabel's like, "Oh, you think I came alone?" And Elena's like, "You think I came alone?" You know, she serves it right back. You know, she totally serves it right back. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe in a way I feel like Elena is the stronger female ingenue in the series, or, you know, or at least I don't know what Elena is like in the books, especially if she turns so early. But here on the show, she's a really good role model, I think, for girls in terms of like being really strong and
agreed.
That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, as a series as a whole, it's hard. It's hard to say. We just started with
it's only the first season.
Yeah. And I haven't read the books, so I can't really compare the Vampire Diaries books to Twilight. So I don't think it's fair for me to really compare that. I don't know.
We can enjoy them both.
Yes. Let us enjoy them both. All right, well, I think that does it for this week. And next week, we'll be talking about the finale for the Vampire Diaries. And then everything is ramping up for True Blood and Eclipse. True Blood premieres on June 13th, and then June 30th is the premiere for Eclipse, so it's going to be crazy. Oh, by the way, the Los Angeles Film Festival Eclipse showing, one of our listeners, SoCalJess, posted on Twitter, $500 if you want to go see that on June 24th. So I think I'm going to wait six days and watch it here and watch it probably more than I'll probably watch it twice for a lot cheaper. So I'm not paying $500 to see Eclipse.
Me either.
Okay? Only 6 days early, you know?
Right.
I would have gone, paid for my airplane flight to go to Oprah to watch that. You know what I mean? But I wasn't. No. So anyways, not going to be doing that. Just an answer.
$500. That's just silly.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it'll go to charity, but I don't have that kind of money. So. Nope. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Stephanie, thanks again for being on the show. Yes. And where can everybody find you?
You can always find me at twitter.com/Marilee, or you can watch my other podcast with Eileen, actually, App Judgment. So revision3.com/App Judgment.
That's right. Great host, by the way, she is.
Oh, so, you too.
All right, everybody. I'm not sure if we'll have Lynn next week. We're still kind of in limbo. She's got one more week in China, and she'll be back plenty of time for the premiere of True Blood. I know that she can't wait to see Eric again. So we will be back with a recap. Even if it's just me and Josh, we will talk about the finale of The Vampire Diaries. So, all right, everybody, this is Bike Club Show, bikeclubshow.com. Email us any comments at bikeclubshow@gmail.com. And you can also Twitter at Bike Club Show. All right, everybody, have a great week. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
Bye.